Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Okay, good day, everybody. It is Sunday, May 16th, 2021, year of the COVIDian cult. Should be doing a show tonight if anyone wants to join in and listen. I don't know if I'll have a guest. To fakeologist.com/live. That's coming up tonight, probably. And I'm here in the live stream with Benoit, who's doing his laundry in Switzerland.
I'm almost done.
Where else can you hear a guy in Switzerland doing his laundry? This is the kind of show we are.
Well,
crazy show.
Yes, but it's plain sad that I don't have a woman to do it for me.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right about that. That's a very sexist comment, but I agree with it.
That's a sad truth. So you want to play something about JFK?
Yeah, one of my favorite new members is Go Find the Others. He has a lot of material on gofindtheothers.com, and I'm listening to many of his suicides, which are audio clip shows. And he actually is so good that I'll say to him, oh, I heard this clip on this show. Do you have it? And he has it. He remembers because some of these shows are 10 years old. He comes up with it really quickly. Like, you would never find it on YouTube if you were looking for it because they're hard to find. YouTube does not help you find stuff these days. They're not good. They're search. I didn't realize that YouTube is the number two search engine. Google obviously owns YouTube. Everybody is aware of that. So the searches should be quite good to find stuff, but they're not. It's really hard to find stuff they don't want you to find. They hide it, and it might show up on page 300. No, they know nobody is going to go to page 300 of the search results. So I couldn't find this, but Go Find the Others found it on YouTube, so it's still there. It's basically just picking apart the Zapruder film, which obviously was a fabrication, which obviously was based on a fabricated event, and who knows who, if anybody recorded JFK's ride through Dealey Plaza. I tend to think anyone that recorded it, we never saw that footage ever, just like on 9/11, never going to see that footage. And they said that a Mason, Zapruder, took the footage, and then it was held for many years, and then it was bought by Time Life, who then held it some more, and then it was released on the Geraldo Rivera show, or whatever show he was on, and then they made the Warren Commission based on a movie, the Zapruder film, where there's no proof that it's real, and there's lots of problems with it, and people have picked the video apart over and over again up until today. But they're all arguing about whether or not this happened or that happened based on the video, when they're not asking the real question. Is it completely fabricated based on an idea and not on actual footage of whatever happened that day, if anything, which is probably nothing? The guy drove through Plaza, and that was it. They wouldn't have had to do anything. He would not have had to even make noises of a shot. He could have just driven through, and nobody would have said anything. And if they did say anything, who would they tell? Even if 500 people saw it and said nothing happened, the media is in complete control. They can say any message they want. But I'm guessing that he went through the plaza. There was some noises. Sounded like gunshots, and then he ducked down, and that was probably the end of it. That was probably it. That's all they would have to do. They wouldn't have to do any of the rabbit trails and that are discussed ad nauseum forever based on this phony Zapruder film, which is based on absolutely nothing. But it's all we got, and when it's all you got, then that's what you pay attention to, and that's what distracts you. So I think I'll play this. It's about 9 minutes, and have a listen.
One of the major pieces of evidence in the assassination of John F. Kennedy, an 8mm home movie taken by a local businessman named Abraham Zapruder. The Zapruder film was featured in Life magazine and became a focal point in the Warren Commission investigation. Does the Zapruder film we see today accurately represent the true events of November 22, 1963? Or has it been altered, as many researchers have suggested? In the following analysis, we shall attempt to find out. As you watch the film, you can see how the random motion of the camera makes analysis of the events difficult. Our first step is to remove as much of this extra motion as possible to focus solely on the movement of the limousine and the people in the scene. You can see that once the limousine is stabilized, it is easier to follow the movement of the people in the car and on the lawn. Previous researchers have stabilized the limousine as well to focus solely on the actions of Kennedy in the car. Now we're going to do something different. The first bystanders we see on the lawn seem to be looking not at the limousine which is passing them, but behind it, as if it has not reached them yet. This odd reaction would seem to support the idea that the background action is out of sync with the limousine. Let's take a look at the way separate layers could be combined in a 1963-era film using either an optical printer or an animation stand. Both use the same principle. The background bystanders on the lawn would need to be separated by masking out the limousine. This would leave a blank area in the foreground. In order to retime the background without this blank area showing, the background could be enlarged and reframed to create an overlap area. Then, the limousine layer, with the background masked out, could overlap this new background and be retimed and positioned independently, allowing its speed to be controlled as well. These layers joined together form what is called a composite. Jitter could then be applied to this composite to create the final effect. It has been argued by John Costella, Ph.D., that the Stemmons Freeway sign which passes in front of the limousine has been fabricated. His detailed analysis shows how the sign does not exhibit the same lens distortion or align in perspective with other objects in the scene. If the sign were a separate layer on top of the limousine, this would be the perfect way to cover the change between real and retimed footage. We also see Mary Mormon standing with her friend in the red coat, clearly on the lawn, when according to her testimony, she stepped forward onto the street when she took her picture as Kennedy was shot. If the lawn footage has been retimed, we may actually be seeing an earlier moment before she stepped forward. Another unsettling aspect to the bystanders is their unusually large size in relation to their distance from the limousine and its occupants, as if the entire background had been blown up. This again supports the theory that the background layer has been resized separately. As the car passes the last couple on the lawn, the man's legs go from a position of standing feet together to standing wide apart in one frame. That's an 1/18 of a second, which is a near physical impossibility, not to mention strange. It is, however, the logical point to cut from the retimed background back to real footage as the car speeds away. Here's an example of bystanders showing motion blur. Notice their shadows lawn are also blurry, as they naturally would be. However, just a few frames later, we see this. The bystanders are even more blurred, yet their shadows are impossibly sharp. This is a clear example of retouching, and further proof that the background has been altered. Although the lamppost passes in front of the limousine, it exhibits no movement in relation to the far background, as it should, being an object much closer in three-dimensional space to the panning camera. It also displays an odd, blurred extension on its lower left side where it passes in front of the limousine, giving the lamppost an artificial cutout appearance. This further supports the theory that the limousine layer has been separated from the background lawn. Therefore, the lamppost would need to be cut out as well to overlay the limousine. Inconsistencies regarding the actions of the people in the limousine have been a point of discussion among researchers. For example, the driver turns his head twice to look behind and then forward faster than physically possible, which seems to indicate removed frames. The head turns correspond to two points at which the passengers lurch forward, as if the car has braked suddenly, although the car shows only gradual slowing compared to the background. The second of these brakes seems to be strong enough to throw Connolly and his wife completely to the floor of the car, and the driver and front passenger forward as well. These examples alone point to significant retiming of the limousine speed. The sprocket hole area on the left side of the frame reveals an interesting clue. When the motorcycle officer momentarily pulls up from behind the limousine at the same time as the second passenger lurch, this seems to indicate either the motorcycle suddenly sped up, or, more likely, the limousine suddenly braked, and the officer was not prepared for it and braked later, having the effect of pulling up alongside the limousine. Yet, the film does not seem to show the limousine slowing or stopping, again supporting the theory that the timing has been altered. This brings us to our final question. Why would someone do this? As mentioned before, the passengers in the limousine lunge forward at one point as if the car has braked suddenly. Many witnesses at the time testified that they saw the limousine slow or stop at the time Kennedy received the fatal headshot. Imagine the outcome of the Warren Commission investigation if they had seen a film in 1963 showing the Secret Service driver bringing the presidential limousine to a complete stop after shots had been fired to allow the assassin a clear, unmoving target for the fatal headshot. Who would they investigate then? A lone gunman? We began this presentation asking the question, does the Zapruder film today accurately represent the true events of November 22, 1963? Our answer is no. Let's review our findings. The pasted freeway sign, the large bystanders, the painted shadows, the cutout lamppost, the lurching passengers, the braking motorcycle. Once you have seen this evidence, it's difficult to watch the Zapruder film and see it as anything but a fabrication. Those who created it never wanted us to see even this much, but now it is too late. We know that the film was altered and retimed before the public saw it, most likely to hide the stopping of the limousine. Once this fact is accepted, an enormous house of cards begins to fall. If the Secret Service driving the limousine was involved, who else was involved? If the Secret Service, FBI, or CIA, who all had possession of the original Zapruder film, were involved in its alteration, what does that mean? If Time Life, which immediately bought the rights to the film and then refused to show it for decades, was involved, what does that mean? If the Warren Commission based their report on the timeline of a false Zapruder film, what does that mean?
Is it over?
I think so. Just give me a minute here.
So what does it mean for me? It means that absolutely nothing about that footage can be believed, nor used in any type of serious analysis. But like you said, it's a very fishy story, the way they obtained that footage, the fact that something that important was hidden for all those years, the person that was chosen to reveal the footage as in Geraldo Rivera. It's a very shady story altogether, on top of an already shady story, on top of a shady backstory for the whole Kennedy clan, so who knows really. I mean, one thing we can believe is that John and Robert were brothers, because they apparently did look the same, but that's about it. The rest of the story is a fiction, it's a fable. It's something that we tell children or people to make them go to sleep without making any problem.
Yeah, it's a great fiction. It's one of the greatest murder mysteries, fictions of all time, I would say.
Yes.
And it's got so many rabbit trails. It's got so many lifetime actors that promote it as real.
It made great books, and the movie JFK itself, it's not bad.
Yeah, and it leaves you with more questions than you had before you watched it. I came out spinning, thinking I was expecting the answer, and I got more questions. So. And that was sort of the last major piece of media, I think, that dealt with it. I think that was sort of the end, really. They wanted to cap it off with a really great movie to leave you lost, spinning, and that was it. That's it. What year was that? 1990-something.
1990, I think. Let me look it up. GF. 1991.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
That audio is still screwed up. I gotta fix that. I thought I did fix it, but something's still not right.
Yes, you mentioned rebooting the computer yesterday, but apparently that wasn't enough.
No, I didn't reboot it. I actually increased the volume, because what happened was I thought the volume of that was too loud compared to everyone else, so I reduced it, but now because I couldn't remember why I had boosted it months ago, but the reason I boosted it is because it wasn't coming through. So now I didn't boost it enough. I think I boosted it 125%. Now I got to boost it maybe 140% to make it work. So I'll have to do that next time I stop.
So yes, the Kennedy supposed assassination. Fascinating story. And this might be what started the conspiracy movement in the beginning, way before 9/11 even.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's when people started questioning things. Did people really question things in, say, the 50s or the 40s? I'm going to say probably if they did, they didn't have really any mass media besides newspapers and radio. So it was harder to probably mind control the masses. TV was the number one device they invented, and even though the JFK day in Dallas was not broadcast live, it was definitely not broadcast that day. Nobody saw anything in that day anyway, they just heard about it.
Yes, but like I said, it's the founding myth of the conspiracy theory. One of the first books I read on the subject, I think the name of the guy is Vincent Pugliosi, and he died since.
Yeah.
Yeah, he
was a DA in L.A. County, and I think he came up during the O.J. trial.
He was in that Oaks, too,
which
is a good sign that there is nothing to it.
Yeah, and that was another super-duper murder mystery made for TV that was portrayed as real.
Yes.
The O.J. one was absolutely fantastic as well. It really... It had many more elements to it. and that was the 90s as well.
I vaguely remember that they mentioned this famous guy running in this car, but I don't remember at the time having any grasp on who he was and what the reason why he was fleeing. I just remember that it was on the news.
Yeah, like that, it was JFK on steroids, because everyone had a TV and many people had access to CNN. Well, mainly in the States, but CNN was getting popular in other countries as well. And this is before, well, the internet was just getting to go, was just getting going, say. So the internet had been around, but I'm not sure if people were using it correctly. I mean,
and I'm not sure that the speed, that the speed would even allow you to read some news or access a message board. It was very, very, very slow at the time.
Yeah,
no. I don't really know the volume of data that could have been transmitted then.
Well, it was good. It was fast, but I don't think the critical mass level of number of people using it was there yet. See, it doesn't matter if something is there. If nobody sees it or uses it, it's not effective at controlling people. TV was still the number one controller of people in the 90s, for sure. The internet was more of a novelty. It was still not ubiquitous. Not everyone had it. Now everyone has the internet in their hand, and they're still not using the internet correctly. They're not able to get past the TikTok app.
Really. Yes, but that's how it is. It's an instant gratification.
Yeah.
There is nothing long-term about that. It's just a way to get what you want as quick as possible and to be satisfied and to go on with your life, which is getting to get the next satisfaction and the next one and the next one. Until there is nothing anymore.
Somebody gave me a Facebook link. People still send me Facebook links, and I'm on Facebook. And I started watching a video on it. I guess it was a video they sent me, and I started watching it. And it was just sort of someone doing a prank or something. And it went on for about 5 minutes. It took forever to get to the end, but it kept you waiting for the punchline. And then you get to the punchline, and it wasn't that great. Then Facebook, they automatically scroll to the next video without you touching the phone. The next thing you know, you're watching another damn video of another complete time-wasting story. And you could sit there for an hour and not touch your phone and then watch 10 different videos, all served up to you. And
it's a trap. It's a mind trap.
Yeah. And I know TikTok is the exact same way. You don't have to touch your phone. You start the app and it just starts flying by all this nonsense.
Yes. It was to the point you were making earlier. I think that also back in the days there was less censorship about books. And a book is something that you pick up because you are interested in. I mean, there is no autoplays on book. You don't pick up the next one randomly in most cases because it sits there. You know what I mean? You have to look up for it, or you find it somewhere and you find it interesting. So I think that in the end, the best way to destroy the people, the masses' intelligence and conscience of themselves, was to remove books and give the people something easier. First, the TV, and with the help of technology, now the cell phones.
Yeah, the cell phone is personalized TV. That's what it is. And it's a massive time waster. I am so guilty of using it to do my research. It wastes so much of my time. I know I'm a victim of it. I know it's really bad for me, but when you're doing the research, you get caught up in other stuff, and you go this way and that way, and I don't recommend it, put it that way. It's not good for real life.
Yes, but it's very difficult, because I do use my phone for everything.
I know, and you're going to have to use it for even more in the future.
Definitely. But I'm about to see what exactly the rules of entry for the UK are about. So that will be interesting.
Okay, you're going to the UK on a world tour.
Maybe not a world tour. We start with a few dates in the UK. But after that, maybe, who knows? No, but the thing is that if that vaccine passport is really a thing and that is bound to be mandatory for travel, I might be picking the last moment ever for someone to travel the right way, if you want. So it's kind of a no or never situation, in a way.
Yes.
Because I, as I mentioned earlier on different chats, I'm medically incapable of having the vaccine because it does contain mercury. So even if I were to want to comply, it's not a possibility for me. So I might as well do at least one travel before this thing is in full force, which will probably be the case in the beginning of the summer. So even my timeline is very short, as I am leaving in a month from now, so on the 16th of June.
And what do you have to do to get there?
To be honest, I'm not 100% sure, but in my understanding, I will have to get tested before I go on the plane. And I will probably be tested on arrival in the UK. And if I want to reduce the quarantine time from 10 days to 5, I can be tested 5 days after my arrival, which I will probably do since I am only staying for 21 days. So I'm about to be swabbed a good amount of time. So at least I can report on that and the custom procedure and everything. If there is really an infringement on this quarantine thing, if they called me, if they even check where I am, because as I understand it, but once again, I might be wrong on it, I really have to check it out, but I still got a month, so it's okay. In my understanding, what I will have to do is take an Airbnb and just stay there, which means that my phone has to stay there, and they will probably call me at one point during the day to check if my phone is with me, as they can monitor that my phone is in the place that I am renting.
So what you should do is take two phones and leave your phone in the Airbnb and just forward it to your phone that you're carrying. What do you think of that idea?
I think that since the unemployment rate in the UK is great, there are probably some people that will go door to door to check on a list of people that they gave them if they are really quarantined or not. But what I envision is possible is to get visits. Because I don't think that they care much about who is visiting me, and I don't think that I will allow any type of authority to enter the place that I'm renting under any pretense.
Okay. Yeah, interesting.
Yes, it's going to be interesting. And why not? So somebody has to do it, and like I said, if this vaccine mandate is in full force by the summer, I will have very hard time to travel, so... It's kind of a no or never situation, and I could have picked a better place to go than Birmingham in the UK, but Skylarkin in there, I have a great liking for her, and other people are in the UK, so it might be very interesting. So I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, good on you.
And that country doesn't ask for any type of visa or nothing. I just have to have a valid passport. But until last year, an ID card would have been enough, but now it's a passport, and that's about it. So I'm really looking forward to see what the situation is, what the requirements are, and whatever. I figure that a good lot of info will be sent to me by the company.
By the plane? By the airplane company?
Yes. Yes. I think that they will probably send me a mail in a few days when... everything is done for on their side and tell me everything I need to know about traveling to the UK. And as I don't want to implicate anyone of this place on my travel on an official level, if I am asked what the fuck I am doing in Birmingham, I will probably say, if that's still a thing, that I am visiting the Range Rover factory because that's my passion in life. I love those cars. I want to see how they are made. And that will probably be my excuse. I don't really give a fuck about those cars, to be honest. It's just that this is the thing that I saw in Birmingham that might interest a guy my age. So that is what I'm going to claim.
You got your cover story.
Yes, exactly. Because I don't really have no name to give them about who I'm going to meet, what I'm going to do. So I'm passionate by those cars, and I want to see how they are made. That's my only thing.
Right.
It's always good to have something to say to the custom authorities if they ask.
Yeah, you got to get your lines straight. Yeah, you know, practice your lines.
Yes, definitely.
Anybody coming to join us yet from the European side? I guess not.
Apparently not. But it's a bit early, and I don't know. Maybe also the thing is that there is a certain time frame that is now semi-established about when the audio chats are taking place. And for the European time, it's at night. So maybe people aren't expecting us to be there. And also, we did not make any type of announcement. So let's try something.
No.
At everyone live stream.
Just give me a minute here. Well, that was interesting. Who was that?
From a very well-known artist. His name is Kid Cudi. The song is unrelated because the song is part of a vampire movie. But in the context of Oh, I See the World, that is a great song.
Yes.
We all know that something is wrong here and no one believes us. So that's how I feel on the daily basis.
What is the latest restriction in Switzerland, which is, if I was running the show, I'd be based in Switzerland, I think. It's a great country.
Yes,
because
there is not much regulation anymore. It's mask mandate,
really?
And that's about it. At this point, you cannot eat inside of the restaurant, but you can eat outside, and the weather is promised to be better, so everything is fine. No one is really giving much trouble to me about that anymore, so it's just mask. Mask, but people are more stringent on the mask because that's all they have left to rely on. So now they want a mask. A bandana or just a simple face covering will not do. Most of the time they want a mask, a real mask. And but that's good because that's all that's the only thing they have left. There is nothing of that bullshit that is up anymore almost here, as far as I know. So
what about the vaccination? Because that's all they're talking about here.
Yes, but the thing is that the vaccination is in full force, but like I mentioned earlier, I'm not really concerned by it, so I don't really look up what is happening in that area of the Oaks, if you know what I mean. Because in the end, I will never get vaccinated. There is no fucking way that they ever vaccinate me, so I don't really care. I don't mind. It's for the rest of the crowd. So I'm sad because, of course, they will vaccinate a lot of people I love, and that is not a good thing. But in the end, vaccinate the sheep if you want. I don't mind. All I know is that I can eat at a restaurant and whatever, and I will not be vaccinated. So for the moment, it's okay.
How about your children?
That's the problem. Yes, that's the problem. They will probably vaccinate them, and there is nothing I can do about that. Really, I get
really
no legal recourse.
If the mother wants them vaccinated, you can't do anything.
Absolutely nothing.
Sucks.
Yes, but that's how it is, and I don't bother with it much because, I mean, it will be a fight against the government, and now it's not the time. But if that time ever comes, I will be ready. I will be more than ready, and if I'm able-bodied, I will do my part in that fight. But now it's not the time to cut heads and to put people against walls. Now it's not the time.
Yeah, okay. So the mother of your children wants to do it, though? Is that confirmed?
No, but the thing is that my daughter is 14, so in the end, she will impose her decision on us, whichever way she wants, because she can play her against me and the opposite. So she will have her way. The thing is that how much of the propaganda she is believing, and I try to explain the situation, but it's difficult, and it will be her choice in the end. It will definitely be her choice, as sad as it is that children of that age can make such choices.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's her choice. Minor.
Yes, I mean, not legally, but in this day and age, how can you impose anything on a kid that age?
Well, easily, you just say you're not doing it. So, I'm not quite sure why it's so hard, but
let me tell you, if I will say it's, if I were such a kid, and my parents were opposed to the fact that I am taking the vaccine, First thing I will do is report them to school. We'll send them to school. I want to get vaccinated. My parents don't want to. And let me tell you the shitstorm it will start. That will never be the end of it. You know what I mean? I will end up in the newspaper.
That would be okay. Then you could plug fakeologists.
Yes, of course. But I mean, socially, try to get a job after something like that. They will destroy me. They will, even if I am no one, absolutely no one, they will probably find a way to cancel me. Because I refuse that my kid get vaccinated and I am a monster and I probably kill a dozen granny just by my attitude.
Well, you need more, a little more courage. We'll have to give you some more energy to fight. I don't want to see you lay down like this.
Oh, but it's just how it is. In the sense that she will get vaccinated if she so desire, because that's the trend of the world. But what I can do, my part in that, is that I can explain to her everything I know about that without being too hard, because it will only get a reject reaction. But just explain her the basic logical things that I can try to hope that she's old enough to understand, that this is a new technology, that this is, even without too contesting too much the official version, because that's even not the way to go with her. I just try to explain her that it's not a good thing and whatever, but it's not, we are not to the point yet where teenagers ask about the vaccine much. That time will come, so my job in the meantime is to try to explain to her the situation and hope, which is a big hope that I have, that she's wise enough to make the right decision then, which is to wait a bit at the very least. Because I don't think that any teenager in this world will be able to resist the mass indoctrination for long. I don't know what is your opinion on that, but I think that the teenagers that are going to absolutely refuse the vaccine or to believe anything about this hoax, they are very, very few.
Well, my opinion is just because it looks impossible doesn't mean you shouldn't try. So just keep trying, try hard. I know I'm already fighting it. I can see the problems already in my personal situation. And it's not going to be easy, I told my daughter that your only job, and I'll pay you, is to avoid the needle for the next 5 to 10 years. Even if that means putting a lot of things on hold, you're going to have to do your damnedest. That's your job, though.
Yes. Corruption might be the way to go with my daughter. I might have to go that way. But I will see about that. Yes, I might have to bribe her to not get the vaccine. But the thing is that people are proud to take the vaccine. Like, I don't know if it was recorded or if it was off air, but I did mention that I have a friend which WhatsApp status is vaccine mode. So that person is quite happy to have had the vaccine and to be conforming with the rules of the land. That's all it is.
Well,
but the thing is that if I can say it, because it's not something that I know firsthand, because I was born and raised in Switzerland, but for people that are foreigners, there is, as I see it, a certain pride about taking the vaccine, if you know what I mean. It's like I'm integrated, I'm so fucking integrated that I'm taking the vaccine. You know what I mean? I'm like the native. I try to do my part to protect this beautiful country that I love, that I live in. And my part is taking the vaccine. And I did go forward to take it. I did all the right move. And I'm a righteous person, and you must love me even more and accept me as a part of your country. Because so that's how it is.
Yeah, I think new immigrants are much harder to convince because there's, like you said, grateful, but they should be fighting too. Even if once you're a citizen, you should be just fighting for at least your medical freedom.
Well, I think that as long as you file the tax report, you can say whatever you want about the march of the country, because basically you are funding the place. So I am not agreeing with the fact that we should pay taxes or anything like that, but the fact is that if you file a tax report and you pay taxes, you are financing this circus, so you must have a say in it, definitely.
Yes.
But it's a bigger issue, and it's not only about money or anything, but the fact is that, yes, if you finance something, you must have a say in it, and there is no way around that. if you get these people to file tax report and to pay taxes or whatever, I think that it's only fair that they have some kind of political right about the march of the institution, if only on a local level.
Yeah, that's your proof that you're in the system, your tax report, that's for sure. That's your proof.
Definitely.
That's all they really want out of you.
Yeah, so there isn't much happening in Switzerland. They are kind of relaxing things, but all it is in Ontario, which is kind of one of the worst places to be in the world at the moment, COVID-wise.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Because we got the most enthusiastic citizens. At least that's the way it seems. And they said Canada is the first post-national state. So when they said it, they meant it. Canada has no identity, it has no common anything according to our own crime sinister. So therefore, he's ready to throw us over to Geneva. Let Geneva run the place. That's what he's saying.
Yes, so everything will be run from here.
Really, I just don't, that's what it means to me. You got your World Economic Forum, you got your depopulation ministry over there for the UN. They're all in the same building. You're in Geneva, aren't you?
Yes, but it's interesting because at this point it become to the state that there are some kind, it's starting to happen that there are some kind of ethnic neighborhood, and I mean the situation is not all rosy and great around here. People are still suffering, the unemployment is rising, and as I see it, it's not perfect, and for the native, it's very difficult. We are not really represented anymore, and it's a hard time for us on the lower level. So maybe everything is run from here, but for us, small peasants, it sucks massively.
Well.
But the upper class, those people, they are doing fine. Absolutely nothing is wrong for them. And I can attest by that because the pool building industry is booming as it is. So apparently those people, they are still wealthy enough to spend $100,000 on a pool.
Yeah, speaking about pools, I was reading that chlorine production is being interrupted. That's one of the supply chain items that they're messing with. And they're saying that chlorine, it's going to be harder to get, and then the stuff you do get because of demand is going to be double. They're playing with commodities in a big way by interrupting the supply chain and the production and blaming it on phantoms like ransomware hackers, which is one of the more ridiculous stories you'll ever hear.
Yes, apparently we also are in short supplies for some reason of angled plastic tube. The thing that you use to do the angle for the soft plastic tube, the pool building, those things are in short supply. For some reason, everything is made in China. And for some reason, they are not supplying this to Europe. So I don't know what the reason is. The fact is that it's one of the most simple pieces, but if you don't have it, you are basically done. So maybe that they were doing it. Not just attack the essential thing, but maybe chlorine is not seen as an essential, but if you remove that, it will be difficult to go on.
Well, this is what happens when you super concentrate manufacturing in one country. There's no competition in the end. And if there is competition, you can't monitor it. It's not even in your own country. Same with everything. It should be a wake-up call to all these countries that decide to give up. Well, this is the severe downside of free trade. It doesn't become free anymore because we don't know what subsidies or slave labor are being used. So it's not fair trade if the state is using slave labor or subsidies. The same old story. It's never really free trade. It's all these countries that give up all their manufacturing and processing, all these blue-collar jobs. It should be a wake-up call to put an end to unfair free trade, which is just about all free trade now. It's totally unfair.
Yes, but it will not be that way. I don't know. I'm still waiting for this big economical crash that they predicted. And for some reason, the system is still holding on. And I have absolutely no idea how it's possible with the numbers that are articulated right now. Is anyone still there?
Yeah, I don't have much left. Oh, we got Farce Value. I was just thinking, I wonder if Farce Value is going to join in, and he joined in.
Yeah, I think the call's been really active lately. Almost daily now, seems. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's very busy.
I've been going through, somebody posted...
Data Trace, Brichello,
Willoos,
Henryu,
Zulo,
Merbler,
SMG.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Somebody posted a... Oh, it's a series from, I guess, Gemstone University. It's kind of about the uniform commercial code stuff and the bankrupt status of all these nations being bankrupt to the central bank and how there's just like a set of codes and laws that supersede what we think of as laws that operate above, I guess, what we're aware of that, you know, has... I'm having a little trouble understanding about how the powers that be manage and organize this place, but they have this idea that they own everything and that these countries are indebted to the national bank and that the people and all the resources of the countries are surety on this debt. And so as a part of a bankrupt nation, you don't really have any status to bring claims against anything until you can change your status to be a living man or woman on the land, whatever. Have you started to look into that at all?
No, not me. Not, you're talking about the sovereign citizen and all that. No.
Kind of. Now this series is making the claim that the people have... I mean, it's like 24 parts. I've gotten through the first five or so, and I'm going to have to listen to it all again because it's really confusing. But there seems to be a fair amount of documentation to back it up, and it goes through all the constitutional amendments and explains how in the states there hasn't been a proper congressional Congress since the Civil War, and when the country was put into a state of emergency due to its bankrupt status. But the idea is that we're all just chattel to be traded and secure this debt, and we don't really have a say in anything. And it's a little bit, I mean, it's kind of bullshit on its face in a way, because there's no consent here. We have not consented to any of this. There's no contractual obligation between us. I mean, since there's been no meeting of the minds, we've never signed on to agree to be bonded into this debt, but evidently at those levels, that's their assumption and the rules that they're operating under. And I mean, if you look at things in that respect, it starts to make a lot more sense the way things happen in terms of the national debt and how they keep pushing through things and the people have no say. And is, I mean, anybody can look at the system the way it is, and it makes no sense the way that we're told that it's supposed to work. Like, everything that's happening is totally contradictory to the stories we've been told about how governments are representing the people. And I mean, it should be very obvious at this point that it's totally disconnected from the will of the people. So, but if you look at it as operating from a position of a bankrupt status, where the bankrupt franchise, I call it, has a lesser status than the superior creditor status, and that the creditor gets to call the shots and use the people and resources as a surety, then, you know, from my perspective, that makes sense to a degree about how things can operate the way they do. So I'm going to keep going through that, but I found it to be pretty interesting, and I'll have to go through it a couple more times to get the documentation and look at this is a lot of laws and things that are cited that I'm going to have to check out.
Sounds like it.
And evidently there may be some remedy and that, you know, if you follow the right steps, who knows? I mean, I don't see why. It also seems a little far-fetched, too, that they would honor anything, since it's really just based on force and intimidation and whatnot. Like, if you find the right...
Yeah, the intimidation has never been in full display like it is now.
Yeah, I listened to, I think it was also posted somewhere on the Discord, that Kevin Johnson, the mayoral candidate?
Yeah, Kevin J. Johnson.
Yeah, he's got a podcast, and it was the interview with the Pulowski, is that his name, the pastor?
Yeah.
It was, yeah, that was really good. And Chris Guy was on it.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that was
I wanted to clip Chris Guy. He had a couple really good runs where he was talking. I wanted to clip them out and make them separate audio or video because he really was laying down the plan.
Agenda 2030, I guess, has a lot to do with this. But, yeah, Canada seems to be getting a lot more of the open tyranny. And it's
we're a post-nation state.
You said a what state?
Well, our crime sinister called us the world's first post-nation state, where we're not really a country. We don't have common values, and there's really nothing that makes us Canadian. We're just citizens of the world, so that's why we're probably ready to go to the next level of just being run out of Switzerland. You just shut all the governments down here.
Or the Vatican. Is this thing I've been listening to seems to be making a case for that it's all... descended from Roman law. And
yeah, but they don't have... Do they have the organization and structure to get things going? Because the UN, the WEF, the depopulation, they have a plan for the future. Everything is... There's Alison McDowell in Philadelphia who also lays out how we're going to proceed for the next 25, 30 years. Everything is going to be tagged and tracked. People, places, things, drugs, everything you can think of that you could follow around the economy and recirculate and reuse and reduce and recycle and all that kind of stuff. I don't think the Vatican has a plan. I think that the United Nations and, like I said, all those other organizations, they do have a plan.
Well, the point that this thing's making, if there's anything to be believed here, is that all the stuff that you're talking about is... further down on the organizational chart than the Vatican. Vatican is at the peak.
All right.
So the orders are coming from there, but we see it as the World Economic Forum and the UN and whatnot that are executing. And how do we know if that's true? There's no way to know.
I only know that we only know what's being put before us. I don't see the Pope talking much other than go get your vaccination, but we see all these other spokesholes gapping away, telling us what it is and what's going to happen. So just give me 2 minutes here.
Yeah. I'm going to keep going through this stuff, and maybe when I have a more clear handle on it, I might offer some comments and see if there's anything there. My plan is to try to, be out of it as much as possible to limit my contact and participation, compliance, whatever. I still think their biggest tool in their toolbox is mind control. Those, as long as you don't give them that, you're a little bit ahead anyway. I think that Chris Guy interview, he was talking about how he thought there were 250,000 people out in Montreal. And I think he said that was, I don't know, four or five times the size of total number of enforcement agents in Canada, period. So that kind of mobilization, they can't really do much about it. If people, they decide they won't comply, they can't force people to do it. If enough people are on that page. But people seem to really be on board with the program of their enslavement.
Well, I'm glad you like the Kevin J. Johnson thing, but see, now the government, they're not stupid. They're just using lawfare to silence people and cancel people. So they're just using the law in a perverted way, which should be illegal. But how do you tell the people that write the laws that what they're doing is illegal? You'd have to challenge them in their courts, which is the big problem. And I think maybe the Quash, I haven't listened to him lately because he's a little difficult to listen to sometimes. But
I enjoy him. I listen to everything he puts out.
Yeah, I are you a patron? Do you get all his?
No, I haven't done it yet, and I need to. I'm starting to feel bad about it.
Well, you only have to pay $1 a month to be a patron. It doesn't cost much.
I just haven't got around to going through the process of signing up. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Patreon of quite a few people, and I only give even if they want minimum. He wants a hamburger dinner every month. You can just switch your donation to $1, and that gets you in the door. They don't usually have more blockades once you're in the door.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just switch it to a custom dollar a month, that's what I do with many people, including him. And even if I don't listen to him, I still remain a patron. For $1, I'm not going to jiggle that and turn it off necessarily unless they really aggravate me. But yeah, that's what they're doing in Canada. So Chris Skye cannot speak in his home province of Ontario, where I live.
Right.
Because they made it so, I can't even remember, I can't remember the technicality, but basically they could criminally arrest him and throw him in jail for violating a judge's order to abide by the emergency order. So the judge basically has made a condition of one of his offenses to abide by the emergency orders. So basically he's criminalized the dictates, the mandates, and the suggestions by putting it as a condition of bail. So if you violate your condition of bail, then you can be arrested. So that, to me, that's lawfare. That's using the law in an unjust way to get what you want. And they don't have the nuts to make the emergency order actual law. That's what's wrong. So that's why Chris Skye is on tour everywhere else in Canada, because he hasn't been charged outside of Canada or outside of Ontario, plus a judge adding the bail condition. So that's what's crazy.
Well, and I've been, you know, preaching this message for a long time. Just the very fact that people recognize this idea of government as something that's valid and legitimate, that should be acknowledged and complied with, it's just a non-starter. It can never, ever bring benefit to us. I mean, and it can't be fixed. You can't vote the right people in. And I mean, I would support Kevin Johnson and his attempts, and it would be great to have somebody like that in there. Yeah, maybe. But that's, even if he's elected, it's not ultimately going to have such a small little ripple on the system, because the system foundationally is corrupt. It is a criminal outfit. And if good people are, you know, they happen to wind up there by chance in some way, they're still involved in a criminal organization. It can't be changed. It's foundationally the way it's set up. It's there to exploit and control and oppress and steal, rob, kill, lie. I mean, it's everything they do pretty much would get anyone that's not in government thrown in jail. So, you know,
racketeering of the highest order.
Yeah, but I just, the public relations, the propaganda starts so early with all the, you know, pledging allegiance to the flags and the national anthem, and then the flag draped over the sports and all, you know, it's just, the history lessons that they teach very young kids about all these state heroes, and it just engenders this loyalty and allegiance. And from a very early age, that program is really hard to overcome later in life for most people, I think.
We're in their playground.
Yeah, so I...
We're in their house. What's going on in Miami? Give us the COVID update for the week.
Well, Florida's been pretty good on that, comparatively to other places. DeSantis, the governor, has lifted the mask mandates. I heard, I guess, from Mrs. Forrest yesterday that Costco and Publix is the Florida supermarket chain. It's one of the most popular ones that we go to for groceries. Florida and Costco had lifted their, Publix and Costco lifted their mask mandates. So I went into Publix yesterday and did some shopping and picked up some things without a mask. And I was the only one in the store without a mask, but nobody stopped me or said anything to me. I didn't really get too many looks. I mean, people weren't, nobody's really scared of this stuff anymore, I don't think. Not the way they were last year. People are complying out of, they might get some peer pressure and they might buy into some of this protecting other stuff with the celebrities and politicians leaning on them. But people aren't, I don't think they're out there wearing the mask because they're really afraid they're going to get the disease. So when people saw me without a mask, they just didn't, they kind of just ignored me. But none of the management or any of that. And I went up to, to pick up a prescription for my wife, and I went to the meat counter and stood there in front of people, and nobody said anything. So Costco will be next. I'm going to give that a shot and see how that goes.
Yeah. No, I read that for Costco.
So that's all good news. I don't know ultimately what it means. Yeah. I mean, I have a feeling that if it gets to the point where, because they keep coming out with this idea of variants, and then, I don't know, it's the whole official narrative itself is so contradictory and convoluted and nonsensical. It's hard for me to imagine how anybody is still on board with this, but I guess people just don't have a memory. They don't bother to search or compare. I just listen to
they don't look anything up. They're too busy on TikTok. What about vaccinations? That's all they talk about in Ontario. How do they portray it there?
It's funny you should mention that because I have a bit of a commute going up to work, and there's several, all of our billboards now are LED walls. So they change, and there's several between here and where I go to work that have vaccination ads and all these different programs and campaigns on it. And I feel like I'm in They Live, I can see the billboards that say obey, comply. It's bizarre, but I know a lot of people that have taken the vaccine. Few of the people I know have gotten sick, but I don't know anybody that's had anything serious happen to them. But, other than what they tell us the numbers are officially, I don't know. Supposedly the town we live in is 50%. I don't know how they know that. That's what they say.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yeah, I don't see how they could know either. I read on Vox Day, Vox, he's a pretty good conservative blogger that Uncle Og gave me, and the article that he was promoting was the people that are in the CDC and FDA are mostly not going to get vaccinated, which, if it's true, tells you all you need to know. You don't need to look any further. The guys that are in the marketing agency for this poison aren't doing it themselves, then...
Yeah, what do you think about the idea that these stories are coming out in the mainstream?
Yeah, I think it's just to really destabilize you, but I also think that there might be some kind of legality where, you know, they can tell you the risks, they can tell, as long as they disclose fully, if you go along with it and get injured, it's your fault. So I still think that maybe they timed it to wait until they took the pulse of the nation. And as long as they figure that they're home free anyway, then they could just start letting these stories out. So it could be just a matter of timing that they let them out. They time it properly. So once people are fully indoctrinated and they're not worried about them going against them, and that this absolves them from any guilt or liability. Even though they already have all their legal liabilities built into injury from the vaccination. So it could be real.
Well, I wonder about that too, and I did mention last week an article that I had read where there's probably at least 20 lawsuits that were cited in this article I read about people bringing, you know, crimes against humanity charges against a lot of governments and health officials and stuff around the world. But, I don't think it meets the legal definition of a vaccine. So there may be some legal problems due to that, even with the indemnification or something. Pfizer has a pretty long track record of, it's not criminal, I guess, because it's all civil payouts, but misrepresentation and bribing, falsifying results, misrepresenting test results, all kind of different stuff.
Yeah, that's part of their business plan.
Yeah. There was an interesting article by John Rappaport a few days ago where he was talking about how there, in the Western countries, people spend maybe as much as up to $400K on health care, most of it after they're 45. He took it down to 200 to be conservative and went on to look at the numbers of developing third world countries, whatever, and the fact that they don't really have much market penetration for Western medicine in a lot of these places. They're still doing herbal and natural remedies and don't pay much attention to pharmaceuticals, but if they can get in with the vaccine to all these places, he's looking at X number of billions of people that are going to come online to the pharmaceutical system in those places that will bring those numbers, you know, another 6 billion people spending $200K a year over time. And he calculated like, I don't know, hundreds of trillions of dollars and new markets the pharmaceutical industries could be penetrating into using the vaccine as a lever to get into those places. So that's a huge...
Yeah, the government will pay for it all. Yeah, the governments of every country will pay for it all too, yeah.
Yeah, and then it opens a door and they can start integrating their pharmaceutical model into these places. I'm kind of at the point where whatever they're saying I should be doing, if I just flip it 180 degrees, I'm probably going to be better off. Like, I avoid...
Yeah, we've always said that, haven't we? We've always said just do the inversion.
Yeah, because their whole plan seems to be to invert everything that in the natural order and turn it upside down. So, you know.
Yeah.
That's the system they're operating with. But yeah, the level of cognitive dissonance and irrationality, superstition, whatever, that we're hearing from
super
some...
high.
That's
very high. My wife was reading her the tweets of her favorite, one of her authors, and this author was tweeting that she got the first vaccination, she's super sick, and she's debating whether she should get the second shot. I mean, the level of cognitive dissonance is off the charts. How many times you got to burn yourself before you realize you shouldn't touch a hot stove?
And probably this whole past year, she's been fine. She hasn't even been sick until she got the vaccine. And then,
well, like most people. But they're told it's good for you. So that you can't even, they don't even trust their own body telling them, don't do it. You just poisoned. They actually question the idea that they're questioning whether they should do it. That's insane.
Yeah, well, don't believe your lying eyes. Don't trust your body. For heaven's sake, don't use the space between your ears to analyze and parse. And
I know it's not totally accurate, but I watch on Instagram a guy named Schmidt, who also goes by the Anti-Mask Club, where his mission is to video himself going into stores and hunting for mask Nazis. That's what he does. That's where he gets his videos. And he went into a CVS, and there's a little table there where there's a morbidly obese woman there giving out vaccinations. And she's sitting beside the Pepsi and the Coke machine. And she tells Ethan she will not interact with him because he says, I'm here to get a vaccination. And she says, I won't interact with you until you put on a mask. So it's just the level of disease and disgust that you can see with your own eyes. A morbidly obese person, a Coke machine, a Pepsi machine selling poison, and this lady offering poison to you into your veins, but she won't interact until you wear a mask.
Well, have you noticed it's been making the rounds quite a bit lately, this one of the latest Rachel Maddow comments about how she's going to have to rewire her brain to look at people without masks. Like, it's going to be a big deal to try to figure out how to interact and accept the fact that people are walking around without masks. And what I found really interesting about that is, like, her timeline starts in March of 2020. Like, everything that happened, the whole history of humanity and where people were walking out around without masks is now, it's like ancient history. Like, it didn't exist. Now we're in mask world, and it's always been mask world, you know, like 1984. It's really strange. Like,
if I can interject, it's the case for many things in a cultural level. That's the way things are.
A little louder, Benoit, a little louder.
Yes, it's the way things are done, so no one will really bother about the fact that now it's a thing. I mean, they choose the period of history where they start on a daily basis almost, so it's not really a surprise.
Yeah, the world was born on 3/11/20.
But it's just that something that's big and obvious, like everybody in masks, and then people never existed without masks, you know, prior to a year ago or whatever. It's just a strange, massive overhaul and rewriting of history in a very short amount of time that people have adapted to this and are so now that they're not only adapted, but they're really like attached to continuing to support this. Mrs. Forrest has been really fascinated with reading the tweets on the like Publix and Costco websites and stuff about the mask mandates and how people are, a lot of people are very upset by this. They don't want the mask to go away. They want them to continue. And it's mind-boggling to me. I don't understand it, but my faith in people has dropped considerably in the past year. But I'm still pretty...
My faith is already at an all-time low.
Well, I'm generally pretty optimistic and positive because in my daily life, my interactions with people are overwhelmingly positive. It's like a 90% plus. I just run into people all the time that do nice things for other people. Like, there's so many instances, and I go out of my way to do things for people, and it's just the way, well, that's what I see with my own eyes in my daily life. So I have this idea that a lot of the negativity is put out there to give people a different impression about other people. So we need this mediating force of government to keep things. But after this past year, I've not that, you know, people are necessarily not nice or particularly evil, but the level of naivete and gullibility is just, wow.
Off the charts.
Yeah.
Well, as I said before, people on the daily, with their views of JFK and 9/11 and the moon landing, it would almost never come up unless they forced the issue. But now we get to see their gullibility barometer just based on their behavior around the mask. And now the vaccination. That's the question that we get now here every interaction. Did you get the vaccine? That's what everyone is saying. That's a gullibility test. That's a Darwin test.
Yeah, actually, Mrs. Farce has also been following IPS on the Twitter, and he had a tweet out yesterday or the day before that kind of reversed his position on the vaxes to a degree. He was kind of very down on the idea of a mandate. I feel like his stance on the vaccinations has been a little soft. The idea that it's has no effect other than psychological divide or whatever. Just the level of importance that the powers that be are attaching getting this stuff into people's bodies indicates to me that it means something to them. I feel like there must be more to it than just a sacrament, you know? But
he keeps saying that he's pro-vax. I always thought that was a sarcastic statement.
Well, he says he's pro-vax and he's pro-anti-vax. He doesn't want to take a stand, and he thinks that the whole vax-anti-vax divide is just another part of the PSYOP to create division amongst people and box people into picking a side, which he doesn't want to do. But he has said that he doesn't think there's anything in the vaccine other than a schism, is what he says, just a way to divide people. But I would err on the side of caution and do everything I can not to let that thing into my body. There's way...
Yeah, it's possible because I think poisoning people is not the end game right now. The end game is just to get control over people's movement and digital tracking of everything they do. That's the end game. That's what the vaccine passport is all about. We want everyone tracked and traced and therefore managed and controlled. Now, but the main problem is once they got the needle in your vein and then they have this level of control, then they can put anything they want into it based on who you are, what use you are to society. That's, to me, the absolute danger of the end game. Okay, we're all tracked and traced to a degree. Some of us still use cash, so a lot of our transactions aren't online. Therefore, they're not taxed. Therefore, they're not traced. But they want to stop all that.
It creates a precedent in society. And once it's there, in 3 months, in 6 months, in whatever, and maybe next time it will not be a vaccine. Maybe next time it will be something else. We should not consent on the basis that it's just a precedent for something else that is to come, if only.
Yeah, you should just say no.
But it's part of a bigger issue, I think, that it's not only incumbent on the vaccine itself. It's just one phase of a bigger operation. I don't think that everything came to the fact that people get vaccinated. I think that it's way beyond that. Or maybe not the first round of vaccinations.
I still think it's technological control of everybody, everything.
Well, like I was mentioning earlier, if there's anything accurate about that whole uniform commercial code and central bank debtor-creditor relationship with nation states, they do operate under the assumption that they do own everything. But they're... all the world's people and property are under their creditor status as security for these loans or whatever, and so they are the owners in their mind and by their definition. So it's you know, they already have it, so I guess it's more like an upgrade, a restructuring of how inventory is managed, you know, like a new enterprise resource planning software and system is being implemented into the back end.
Well, so really, vaccinations, in summary, are voluntary in Florida right now, and they just advertise you to get them. They're not really, the government is not officially pushing you to do it on a state level.
Florida and a lot of other states have come out and made proclamations that they will not be insisting, or even allowing vaccine passports. It's not going to happen in a lot of states. They've come out publicly saying this. They may have to reverse later, but that is the stance. I would like to see some of these lawsuits go somewhere, because I think it's a pretty good legal position that they're experimental, and it's some kind of war crime or something to mandate and experimental medical
biological injection.
Yeah. So we are still in the, and even people have been pointing out that I guess Pfizer is saying they're going to wrap up their clinical trials in 2023 or something like that. So everything that's happening now is a trial.
Yeah.
So, and I think there have been instances where the executives have been, maybe slip of the tongue, or they've called that experiment public.
Oh yeah. That's how they absolve.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value-for-value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
Farce, are you following Mike Singer?
No, I'm unfamiliar with Mike Singer.
Oh, he's the bigvirushoax.com. He did a Zoom call yesterday.
Oh, now I know. The Big Virus Hoax, yeah. I haven't looked into him for a while, but I did really enjoy that video that he did when the cop showed up at his house and he kind of started breaking the virus thing. And I felt like he was winning a lot of them over. It was pretty impressive. He had a really good way of talking to people in a non-confrontational kind of way that seemed to be able to penetrate.
Well, basically, it sort of sounds like things aren't going that well in Florida the way he portrays it. Certainly not going the way he wants it to go.
In what way? I mean, I'm not paying attention to too much of what's being said. I just, I'm working. I'm out in the world, you know. And
well, I'm on his newsletter, and he's constantly pounding me with copies of letters he writes to public officials. So I don't read them for the most part.
I mean, what are the things that his complaints or whatever, the things that he wants changed, or that he thinks, writing letters?
The stores are still enforcing the mask, even though it's a violation of your HIPAA laws, federal HIPAA laws. I guess that's his major thing.
Yeah, well, I've been at a few stores outside of Publix and Costco. I might try Costco today. I'm very interested. They've been one of the more strict ones. But I've been in some, you know, local gas stations and stuff where people aren't wearing masks. And so there does seem to be a loosening. So I'll just count that as a small victory right now and hope that it continues. I'm hoping that there might be some remedy through crypto.
I'm not too hopeful. I think Quash
Quash did something on crypto. I got to listen to that. He sent an email out this morning.
I just look at it as if enough people were to use it as a currency. And when I first heard about it, that's the thing that excited me about it. I didn't look at it as an investment. I mean, when I heard about Bitcoin, it was so cheap, I should have bought it. And I was a real idiot for not doing it back then. But they were trying to promote it as a real alternative to central bank fiat notes. And it was the idea that merchants would accept Bitcoin and we could create an alternative economy that was trading outside of the central banks. That would be a real remedy, because it's the money system that allows all the criminality and evil that goes on. It's that control, because they have unlimited budgets to do whatever they want because they print the money. So, you know, escaping that system is the real key to any sort of freedom and change. And I don't see anything else out there that's has any sort of practicality about it other than crypto. So, you know, it's just the question is, well, whether crypto is part of their program or not. And a lot of the engineers that I hear in the crypto space that I think are sincere are saying that this is done outside of their purview. The technology is developed by anarcho-capitalists, and they, if it's done properly, it's going to be very difficult for the system to thwart it and get in and monkey with the, according to Berwick, the CIA has taken over Bitcoin, so that might be a lost cause, but there do seem to be others that have privacy built into the architecture from the ground up that, you know, they're calling the coins that Bitcoin should have been. So I don't know. I would like to think that's a possibility.
It's all dependent on the fact that, like you said, you can buy more and more goods with them. In the end, that the only thing that will ensure is success or is demise.
I'm going to send Av a donation to Monero.
Monero seems to be the one that is secure. For some reason, people that want some more anonymity are using that one. There are probably others, but it is the more common one, as far as I know.
All right, gentlemen. Well, I'm going to have to get a move on, get about my day. Nice catching
up
with you guys.
I have a train to catch in 1 hour from now, so I must get prepared.
Hey, where are you going?
I'm going to meet some family in a town 100 kilometers away from where I am. But I'm coming back tonight, so.
Oh, not a long trip.
No, not really.
All right, Benoit, enjoy that. And
yes, have a great Sunday. It's always a pleasure to discuss with you, and you always bring forward some interesting topics.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this has been a great resource and a refuge for all of us that need some like minds, because there's not many out there, it doesn't seem like.
Yes. It's really difficult to go and find the others. And in real life, I don't know that much people that have those ideas. And if I know some, they are hiding it very well.
All right. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Yes, bye-bye. And bye to you, Ab. Have a nice continuation of your Sunday. I'm logging off. Bye-bye, everyone.
That's all, folks.